We have officially entered into the season called Lent. And the season of Lent reminds us of the message of Easter, the good news of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, His conquering death, His bringing life, and the resurrection. And as we lead up to Easter Sunday, my hope is that every Sunday, like every Sunday we always have, but that in particular, these Sundays leading up to Easter, that we would hear who Jesus is and hear specifically what He's overcome for us on the cross. This morning we're going to find a Jesus who is confronted and given an opportunity to give in to temptation. But He, the perfect one, does not do that. We find that Jesus conquers temptation, and that in doing so that He proves to us that He is the only one that can be called the spotless sacrifice for sin. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. From Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. And the tempter came and said to Him, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But He answered, "It is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you should not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, "All those I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. That is one of the first pictures that we have of Jesus' earthly ministry. Think about that. Jesus has just started His earthly ministry, and what is the first thing that happens to Him? He's confronted and given an opportunity to give in to temptation. One of the essentials to Jesus defeating this temptation is what we find in the chapter that precedes this chapter. One chapter before this chapter, we find that Jesus is baptized and that the Spirit has come upon Him. Well, that Spirit gives Jesus the power to defeat the devil. The devil had been trying to defeat Jesus for some time, and you might recall how we pointed out at Christmas how the devil had been working through Herod to destroy Jesus. Well, it's more of that same thing again. Notice the attack plan of Satan. It's not the most direct way that Satan goes and tries to challenge Jesus. It's more of a side attack. It's more indirect. And that is a picture of the sneaky and conniving nature of Satan. Now, the victory that Jesus has in the desert, that confirms His identity. That confirms His mission. And three times Jesus defeats sin. The first is the challenge to turn the stone into bread. And the second is to jump from the temple. And the third is to worship Satan. Now, what happened after Jesus defeated Satan? Scripture tells us that the devil left Him. Now, for Jesus, this wouldn't be the only time that Satan would try to attack Him. There were for sure going to be more moments of attack. I think when we think about Jesus, one of the first things that we think of often is the miracles and the teachings that He did. Think about those miracles and teachings. Others, in His power, did miraculous things and offered teachings. But no one can say that they have lived a perfect life and that they were free from temptation like Jesus did. Jesus did not give in to temptation. He defeated it. He is perfect. And the truth is, we are not. And because of that, we can be sure that we will experience temptation on this earth. The late English writer, Oscar Wilde, he once said, "I can resist anything except for temptation." He also said the best way to deal with temptation is to yield to it. Think about those statements. Those statements tell us that there's got to be a better way to deal with temptation than to simply just give in to temptation. Temptation is an opportunity to do or get a good thing in a bad way. And when it comes to temptation, the one thing that we know is that we will not be alone. Once upon a time, there was a man who had two dogs. He had a black dog and he had a white dog. Both same size, same white, same weight, same age. And the dog owner, he loved them both very, very much. But the two dogs did not love one another. Often these two dogs would fight, and ever so brutally. And everyone who came and saw these dogs knew that eventually one of these dogs was going to kill one of the other dogs. One day the owner of the dog, he's visiting his friends, and his friends who had this ongoing bet of how one dog was going to kill the other dog, they asked him, "How are your dogs doing?" And the man said, "Well, one of my dogs finally killed the other dog." The friends asked him, they said, "Which dog won?" His answer was, "The one that I fed the most won." When it comes to temptation, we have a choice. And it's our choice to give in to temptation or to turn our backs to temptation. And if we feed our temptations are going to cause us to repeatedly give in to more and more temptations. And eventually those temptations will kill us. Now, I don't know what temptations you face on a daily basis. For me, it's things like using my time wisely, maybe choosing not to drink too much soda, maybe choosing not to be a people pleaser. There's probably some others that are out there, but those are some of my temptations. I thought this morning, wouldn't it be fun if we could just hold a $100 bill out in the center of the audience and say the first one to get it gets to keep that $100 bill? I thought that would be a fun exercise in temptation to show who was willing to go and chase after that $100 bill. The thing is, we don't need to do something like that. We don't need to do that experiment to prove who has a weakness. I think we'd all be pretty comfortable admitting that each of us has a weakness to temptation. Now, the passage that we looked at this morning, that passage paints a picture of Jesus who does not sin. And that is an essential teaching that we need to grab a hold of about who Jesus is. To understand that dynamic of Jesus as the God and of Jesus as the man, and as one who is both as the God and the man confronted by sin, I think there's a really good analogy that we can look at. Take two sticks. One is a thin wood pole, and the other is a hollow steel pole. Now, Jesus is the God. Jesus as the man, he is represented by that stick. And if you were to try to crack that stick over your leg, that stick would quickly break. Jesus on his own as man, if Jesus was just man, he would sin, he would give in. But Jesus is not. Jesus is better demonstrated as taking that thin wood stick and inserting it into that hollow steel pole and then trying to break that pole over your leg. You would find that pole wouldn't break. And for Jesus, because Jesus was 100% God and 100% man, he could not sin. It was against his divinity. But for us, as people on this earth, we are going to sin and we are going to give in to temptation. And giving into temptation has its price. I'll name six things that happen to us as we give into temptation. Here's the first one. When we give into temptation, our confidence is robbed. When we give in, we lose confidence. When we give into temptation, it leads to bigger problems. The feeling of defeat, that might actually be an invitation for us to give in once again in other situations. Here's another thing that happens when we give into temptation. It brings death to relationships. When temptation wins, often some of the things that suffer are our relationships. Often we not only hurt ourselves, but we hurt others. And even at the very least, when we think our temptation only causes hurt to ourselves, it affects our character, and our character shows up in how we interact with those who we care about. Here's a fourth thing that temptation does when we give in to temptation. It makes us feel like hypocrites. If you're a believer, the truth is that Satan has lost you for eternity. You are out of his grasp. Satan's secondary goal, then, is to make you ineffective for today. And one way that he does that is by his means of tempting us. So when we give in to temptation, we feel like hypocrites. Here's another thing that temptation does. Temptation causes us to have a hard heart. One more that temptation does. Temptation, when we give in to it, it deflates our power to share Christ. Because we've got that hard heart, because we feel weak, we lessen our desire to share the gospel with others. We think that we're not worthy of doing it. So where does temptation come from? The Bible says that temptation comes from three different places. First, temptation comes from the world. The world says things like, we hear these all the time. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's choosing that direction. What's the big deal? Come on, live a little. The world says things like that, but the world doesn't tell us about the consequences of our actions. The world doesn't tell us that when we give in to sin, it's going to hurt. The world never tells us about the sting. Here's the second place that temptation comes from. The second place is it comes from within ourselves. There's something within us that wants to do wrong. And the Bible is very clear that says that there's something going on within our soul. That there's a battle within our soul to choose between that which is evil and that which is good. To choose that which is dark and that which is light. And that battle that's going inside of us, that causes us often to give in to temptation. Here's the third place that temptation comes from. Temptation comes from the devil. There is a personal source of evil in this world. And we should take it seriously that the devil is out there and that he wants to destroy our lives. Jesus was tempted by the devil. And even though temptations are from the world, even though temptations are from within ourselves and the devil, we are the ones who walk through the door. And we have no right to say that Jesus is the cause of our temptations. James tells us that we can't blame the devil, nor can we blame God, when we give in to temptation. Why do we give in to temptation? I think often we give in to temptation because we're looking for things like acceptance and belonging and companionship and security. And to some degree, we will find those things in this world. But how we find them in this world is that we find them in a shabby condition. We find them imperfect. We find them mixed up. So what can I do when I'm given an opportunity to give in to temptation? How do I respond? I want to give you a number of things that I believe that Scripture teaches about how to respond when given an opportunity to give in to temptation. First one is this. Don't feel guilty about the fact that you've been tempted. Every person in this room is going to be tempted at one time or another. And we need not feel guilty about that. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, that Jesus has been tempted in every way. And for me, I take that as an awesome verse that speaks to the fact that Jesus, the God-man, has been tempted in every way. That means that he's been tempted sexually, he's been tempted to lie, tempted to steal, tempted to cheat, tempted to do everything imaginably wrong. So when you and I are tempted to do something wrong, know that the God of the universe, the God who created you that can identify with every step that you take, that he understands the situation that you're in. It's not a sin to be tempted. When temptation is in front of you, we have a choice. And it's that choice that can become a sin. You can either try to find your own way out, or you can try to find God's way out. And finding God's way is the second thing that I want to throw out to you. I want to encourage you to decide to follow God's way out. If you walk away with anything this morning, I hope that you would walk away with the idea that God is faithful. That's what Scripture says. That God is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. He says, well, when we are tempted, that he will provide a way out so that we can stand up under it. If you say something like, I couldn't help it, I couldn't help myself, you need to take that vocabulary out of your vocabulary, because the Bible says that you can help yourself. The Bible says that God wants to give you the power to help yourself. And there is no such thing in Scripture as an irresistible temptation. Here's some encouragement and some hope. Every time you pass up a temptation, you know the good thing that occurs? The good thing that occurs is that we get spiritual growth out of that. The Bible gives us counsel to stay away from temptation. It's trying to be real and practical for us. It's telling us that we should follow God's way out. And God's way out is tied to prayer and is tied to being in His Word. Here's the third thing I'll throw out to you this morning. To stop blaming God. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says when people are tempted, they should not say, God is tempting me. Evil cannot tempt God, and God Himself does not tempt anyone. But people are tempted when their own evil desires lead them away and traps them. This desire leads to sin. Then the sin grows and brings death. I think that verse is speaking to us that we should stop blaming God. God is not tempting us. He will, though, walk with us through those temptations with His hope that they produce good things in our life. But the truth is that He does not tempt us. Here's the fourth thing that I think Scripture offers us. It's to know that we can say no to temptation. Many people are going to say, you know what, I just couldn't say no. I just couldn't help myself. I was out of control. But the thing is that we all have the power to say no. It might not be easy, and it won't ever be easy. But we all have the power to say no. The Bible says this. The Bible says, remember this. The wrong desires that come into your life, they aren't anything new. I'm thinking that some of you might be saying, if God is going to show us how to escape, how come I haven't chose that way out? Well, that's the answer. We haven't chosen God's way out. I think one of the traps that we get ourselves into is asking the question, how close can I come to the line of right and wrong without crossing that line? I think if that's the question that you're asking, I think you're asking the wrong question. Because that question is never going to get you to a spot where you're going to be unable to put yourself away from temptation. Go back to our passage in Matthew, from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. I'm not going to read it again. We've already read it. But I think Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11 offers us some key insights. And I'll just point out three key insights from this passage. We already talked about how Jesus can identify with us when we're in situations of temptation. This passage gives us an example of that. Jesus was hungry. The devil offered some food. That food was a present need that Jesus had. But Jesus responds to the devil in two strong ways that we can learn. He responds to the devil by quoting Scripture, and he responds to the devil out of confidence that he knew that his heavenly Father would take care of his needs. On a personal level, when we resist temptation, a number of things happen. I'll share with you a few things that happen when we resist temptation. When we resist temptation, temptation produces character inside of us. Maybe instead of totally being frustrated about the fact that you've been tempted, maybe the thing that God is trying to show us in our life is that He's trying to produce character in our life. Scripture says this, "Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy, for the way is rough. Your patience has a chance to grow, so let it grow. Don't try to squirm out of your problems, for when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything strong in character, full and complete." I think Scripture is trying to teach us that we should acknowledge the fact that when we are tempted, that God wants to work in us in that situation to produce character. Character like goodness and honesty. Character like kindness and gentleness. Those characters are going to impact our life for eternity. Here's another thing to know. Know that God accepts us no matter what. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Scripture doesn't say when you finally get your act together that God is going to die for us. Scripture doesn't say when you finally come up with some sort of deal with God that then Christ will die for us. It says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that is where God accepts us. Another passage that I think is important for this conversation. Therefore now, there is no condemnation for those that are in Jesus Christ. If you have a relationship with Jesus, the truth is that you are not condemned. That's a simple message. You cannot get out of God's love. God loves us regardless. And if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Scripture says that there is no condemnation. That should be good news for us. Know also this, that as a person who knows Jesus Christ, that you are a part of God's family. You're not just a part of something where God just looks down and says, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and maybe one day I'll check in on you. God wants to have a relationship with you like that you have in a family. God's Word says this about that family. He says, you are no longer strangers to God and foreigners in heaven. You are members of God's own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. That is a promise of real belonging. It is a sense of family, a family of God. When God says, come over to my house, He says He means it. Know also that we have hope that never ends. God accepts us no matter what. Through faith, we are members in God's family, and God will be with us in the tough times. And because of that, He gives us a hope that never ends. And God is going to be with us no matter what. The world can promise us things to a degree, but they can never promise us things the way that God can promise us. Temptation plays havoc with our lives. I don't know if many of you read a lot of comics, and occasionally I do, and I came across one, and I'm actually not sure if I read this before, but I'll just share this comic with you again. It's from the Kathy comic. Kathy, in this comic, she's struggling with her diet. See if this progression is familiar in your own life. In the first frame, she says, I'm going to take a drive, but I'm not going to go near the grocery store. Second frame, she says, I'm going to drive by the grocery store, but not go in it. Then she says, I'm going to go in the grocery store, but I'm not going to walk down the aisle with the candy. Then she says, I'm going to walk down the aisle with the candy, but not going to pick any up. And she says, I'm not going to pick any up, but I'll pick it up, but I'm not going to buy it. Then she buys it. She says, I'm not going to open it. Then she opens it, says she's not going to smell it. Then she smells it and says she's not going to taste it. Then she tastes it. She says, I'm not going to eat it. Then she's eating. You know, there's some temptations that are out there that are a lot worse than food. But it is true that those who have a temptation, a weakness to food, they probably shouldn't work in bakeries. It helps to know our own weakness. And in our weakness, it's there where Jesus wants to walk with us. And there is no weakness that He can't defeat, because God is great. Take one more look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord God and serve Him only.' Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him." If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then it's this Jesus who has conquered temptation that wants to walk with you through your moments of trial, through your moments of temptation. And if you don't know Jesus in a real and personal way, and you're trying to deal with temptation on your own, I've got sad news for you. It's not going to work. You're going to get defeated. Most importantly, you don't have an advocate who walks by you by your side. I pray this morning that all of us would know a real Jesus who desires to walk by our side in all circumstances and desires to rescue us from the traps of Satan. And this Jesus who walks beside us through temptation, He walks with us even when we give in to temptation. I read a story about a young boy who was told by his mom not to play near a certain pond. Well, one day, the temptation of that pond was so strong, and the young boy went and he just jumped right into the pond. After he got out of the pond, spent some time swimming, he came to his senses and he thought, "Oh, I've done something I wasn't supposed to do." So he walked in the front door and he walked in looking to make an apology to his mom, looking to confess. Didn't find his mom. What he found, though, was he found the white chalkboard where they would write messages to one another. So he wrote this message to his mom. He wrote, "Dear Mom, I'm sorry that I've been bad. If you would please forgive me, rub this out the next time I walk by the chalkboard." Well, he went into his room, changed into his clean clothes, got dried off, and when he came back out into the kitchen, he looked at the chalkboard, and he found it to be perfectly clean. Psalm 51, verses 1 to 4 says this, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and I know that my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak." That's a psalm written by David. A psalm written after David had sinned and been confronted by Nathan. That confession was heard and honored by God. As we get closer to Easter Sunday and celebrate the work of Christ on the cross, let's remember the work of Christ to remove the stains from us giving into temptation. God desires to do just for you what that mom did for that little boy and wipe and clean that slate. This Jesus who has been tempted in every way desires to walk beside you, even in your sin. Be encouraged today to go to Him today and to ask Him to lead you in all matters of temptation.